Take your Bibles quickly, turn to Acts chapter 8 this morning. And we have been looking forward to being here with y'all at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I couldn't believe it when your pastor called me up and asked me to come. I'd called him 20 times and begged him to let me come. And then he finally called me and said, yes, you can come. You know, whenever he called and asked us to come, boy, what an honor it was to get to be here to see the work. I've heard many good reports about your preacher all across the country. And Brother Terry Angel, good preacher friend of mine up in Bourbonnais, we were with him last weekend, had a big day, big roundup Sunday there, and we put our whole cowboy carnival up out in the yard. And his goal was to have 1,000, never had 1,000 on the property on one day. And we had 1,189. Had about 58 saved, and on and on. It was just a wonderful day, and it was exciting to get to be there. And he told me, was bragging about your preacher and what a good friend he was and how much that they enjoyed getting to preach together. And I was told him that we were going to be here, and he wanted to make sure and say hello. And we praise the Lord for him and his ministry, and then, of course, to be with you all here today. And it's been exciting, and I hope that maybe after services you have a moment, stop by our ministry tables, pick up one of our prayer cards, pray for the Walkers and Roundup Ministries as we travel across this country trying to throw a rope of hope to a lost and dying world. And Loretta and Jeannie Mae, I think, will probably be there at the tables at the end of the service. We're going to be, we'll have some of the family out there, but the rest of us will be out at the Cowboy Carnival helping that thing go on. And we're looking forward to that, that's for sure. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. In fact, let's drop down to verse number 30 here. Acts chapter 8, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless now these few moments that we have together here in Sunday school. And Lord, may we learn some things that help us to be better for you. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Now, here's the story of Philip and the evangelist and the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's out there. The eunuch is reading in the scriptures. He's religious. He's a religious man, but lost. We have a lot of folks like that in the United States of America. They're religious, or they claim to have some sort of church background, but they're lost. Okay, headed for hell, trying to get to heaven on their own works, you see. And so here's this fella. He's looking. He's searching. He's wanting to know how I can get to heaven. And if you're that way this morning, boy, you just don't know for sure you're going to heaven. Okay, if you couldn't tell me why and how you're going to get there, and you're a little bit unsettled about that matter, you're in the best place you could ever be to get that cared for, okay, and get that cared for today. And so this man is religious, he's lost, he's looking, he's longing, he is wanting to find out what this scripture means as he's reading it. Well, God, the Lord sent the evangelist along the way for their paths to cross. I believe it's a divine appointment. I believe the Lord has people set up for you to talk to. Your paths cross them, and it could be a divine appointment. I hope that you obey the Lord and you give him that track, that you talk to him about the Lord. You use that opportunity because there are folks that are just waiting to get saved. Yesterday, we went out visiting, and we hit this little area down the road. What's that, Midland? Midland. Went down to Midland, and every house, no one was home. Everybody was sleeping or gone down at the Covered Bridge Festival. We kind of thought maybe we ought to go down there and visit everybody, you know. And so we hit some houses, and we finally found somebody home. And it was the second house that I found someone home at. And that was a divine appointment that day, because the Lord allowed us, they allowed us to come in, share with them the gospel, and they all got saved. Man, they want to know, you know, for sure you go to heaven? No. Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah. Come on in. And so Joe and I went in, and we got to show them the gospel and show them how to get saved, okay? Now, that's our job, and he's got people for you to meet, okay? Do that. Now, Here he is looking, and I find here that this man was willing to ask the preacher. He says, come get up. He desired him to get up in his chair. Come on and show me. I see here that the Ethiopian eunuch was teachable. He was somebody, he wanted some counsel. He wanted some advice. Now, a foolish man will not get advice. He'll do his own thing his own way. Okay? A foolish man will do that. A wise man will get some counsel. And so I want to help you here this morning. You know, a lot of people, they get their a lot of knots in their life. It's knotted up. They got problems. And man, that Ethiopian eunuch, man, he was on his way to hell, and he just couldn't undo that in his life. He couldn't figure out how to get rid of that, how to get his sin dealt with and covered and to be forgiven, okay? Couldn't figure that out. A lot of folks, they get knots in their lives. They get problems. They have issues. They got baggage. And how's it going to happen? Just like Brother Randy, you know, he couldn't figure out how to get that knot out of the rope. Okay? Until he asked me. And then when he asked me, then I showed him. I don't know if he still knows how to do it. But, you know, he showed me. Okay? Well, if you're going to be helped and if you're going to be better, okay, you're going to have to be somebody that is willing to take some counsel. Okay? Every time you come and you sit underneath the preaching of the Word of God, as Pastor Ross preaches, I hope that you are somebody that will listen. Amen. And to the counsel that he's given you. Brother Scott, my pastor at First Baptist Hammond, he said, you know, I do 90% of my counseling from the pulpit. People that come to church faithful and listen to me, I do not see them very often. Okay? The people that I see all the time and I spend a lot of time with are folks that just, they don't come faithful to church and they want a quick fix and they come in, okay? And then how many of those people won't listen? You try to help them, and I'm sure Pastor Ross has seen this. You try to help somebody, you know you got the answer, and it goes in this ear and not the other. They hear you, but they're not listening, you know. Them kind of folks. Well, if you're going to get some help, if you're going to get the knots worked out of your life, you're going to have to be somebody that will listen. First thing that getting good godly counsel will do for you, number one, it'll save your life. That's what happened here with the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, preacher, get up here and show me the way. Man, I want to know. And guess what? His life was saved that day. Why? Because he got some counsel. Man, he listened. Those folks yesterday said, come on in, preacher. Show us how to go to heaven. They were willing to listen. And it saved their life because they listened. So if you listen to the preacher, you listen to the messages and the lessons and the counsel given from the Word of God, it'll save your life. Number two, it'll keep you from failing. It'll keep you from failing. Take your Bibles, turn quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter number 10. 2 Chronicles. In chapter number 10. Find an interesting story here. Rehoboam, son of the wisest man in the world, Solomon. His son Rehoboam is succeeding King Solomon. Here in this portion of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and look there in verse number 1. It says, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon, the king heard it, and that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father hath made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that was put on us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. Now see, here's a very smart move. He's like, uh-oh, I got to make a decision. What am I going to do? So he was smart enough to say, you know what? I think I better get some counsel. Now he's the king, okay? He really didn't have to get any counsel. He could have just done what he wanted to do. So, kind of like some of you, you're just going to do what you're going to do. No, we're going to tell you how to live and what to do. So you'd go join the army, okay? Well, Here's Rehoboam, you know, makes a lot of sense, don't it? So Rehoboam, he was smart enough to get counsel. So he got counsel with he started out right, got counsel with the old men. See, experience is something you can't buy. Okay? And people that have lived longer than you, have they been around? They've got some experience. Some have learned from the school of hard knocks, okay? And they can tell you a thing or two. So he gets with the elderly men, and he asks them, he says, "What counsel give ye me to return and answer this people?" And they speak unto him, saying, "If thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words unto them, they will be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. See, he didn't want to listen, like some of you. You might be smart enough to get counsel, but then if they don't give you the answer that you want, it's like, well, forget you. That's not what I wanted to hear. How many times have I seen that? Okay. And you keep going until you find somebody that'll tell you what you want to hear, so you think it's okay to go ahead and do what you want to do. Well, that's a mistake. Since he forsook that. And it says, "And the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him, and he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer this people, which has spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that my father did put upon us." So he gets with his peers, the fellows he grew up with. He says, "What do you think?" You know, that's kind of foolish for a fella to go, you know, he's in prison. He made some bad decisions, and so he goes to another inmate, and he says, "What do you think I should do to stay out of prison?" Huh? That's like, you know, you're bankrupt, about ready to lose it all, and you go to another friend who also is going through bankruptcy and say, "Could you give me some financial advice?" Their life's knotted up too. You know? You don't go to them, okay? And that's the mistake he made. And he went with them, and it says in verse number 10, "The young men that were brought up with him said, spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that speak unto thee, saying, Thy father hath made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins." Boy, talk about hot air. "I tell you what, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought my daddy was bad. You just wait until I get through with you." Well, that's a good way to lead, isn't it? You ought to lead by example instead of, you know, trying to force people. It won't work that way. And so they made some bad decisions, and of course he failed. Rehoboam forsook the right counsel, and he failed. If you get counsel and you take that counsel and listen to it, not only will it, number one, save your life, but number two, it'll keep you from failing. Anybody here say, "Brother Walker, I just want to be a failure with a capital F. I want to fail." No, nobody here wants to fail. Everybody wants to, "Man, I want to make a success out of my life, and I want it to count, and boy, I want God to bless me," and on and on and on. Well, then a wise man is going to get some godly counsel. It'll keep you from failing. I remember whenever I first started deer hunting, and I had hunted quite a bit for small game, but it really was not experienced with deer. In the part of the country that I grew up in, there were very few deer. And so we moved to West Virginia in the mountains, and there was a lot of deer there in the mountains of West Virginia. And I went hunting with some fellas, and boy, there's an older fella there by the name of Lee Harrison. And Lee Harrison was a great hunter. He was very woodwise, and he was just a smart fella. Nobody else would come in with anything, but Lee would, you know. Lee always would get his bag limit. He would always seem to, he knew where the bucks were. And nobody else would see anything, and they'd come in dragging their feet and, you know, fussing. And Lee'd have him a buck in the back of the truck smiling. And I said to myself, if I want to learn to be a better deer hunter, who do you think I ought to talk to? I went to the old man, and I said, "Hey," I says, "tell me, teach me, help me." I says, "Man, I'm just, you know, I'm not seeing nothing, and I know that it's not because the deer aren't there. It's because I'm making some mistakes. And so if you'll help me." And so he took me off to the side. He says, "Now listen, Kevin." He says, "Let me help you with some things." He says, "When you're out there," he says, "don't be moving around." He says, "These other guys, they can't sit still for 5 minutes." He says, "And they're breaking out the thermos, and they're smoking a cigarette, you know, and they're drinking their coffee and doing all this kind of stuff." He says, "You can't do that." He says, "You got to be still. And if you make any movements, just move real slow. And always be alert. Always be looking. Look deep in the wood. Look for a flicker of a tail. Look for the little gleam or glare of an antler." And he began to teach me. I listened.
He says, and I'll tell you what else you do. He says, don't wear your hunting gear inside the cabin where these fellas are cooking. And there's a lot of odors from that food that'll get into your clothes, and you carry that outside. He says, one of a deer's greatest senses is his smell. So he said, Kevin, now, I'll tell you what you do. Get your clothes and put them in maybe a bag of oak leaves. And that's back before he had scent lock and carbon fibers and all this stuff, you know. And he says, wash it in some baking soda, you know, and that'll remove the odor. And then he says, put it in a bag of leaves, or if you're hunting in evergreen country, will you put some pine needles in that bag, whatever that odor is that they're used to. Or if you're hunting an apple orchard, well, maybe, you know, put an apple or something in there, you know. So, okay, so I did that. And I started being real careful about scent. I was real careful about moving around and moving slow, and began to watch. And I listened to what he taught me. See? And he says, listen, if you get tired, nothing's moving, it's maybe a day where you want to get out and you want to look around, he says, and still hunt. He said, what you need to do, don't march through the woods like a soldier. He says, it ought to take you 30 minutes to cover the distance of this platform, how wide this platform is. It ought to take you about 30 minutes. He says, you just take two or three just small, short steps. Be careful what you're stepping on. Watch for sticks and get up, lean up next to a tree and just watch and peek over down in that ravine and look. And he says, stand there for two or three, four or five minutes. And he says, and then just be real easy and move slow and slip up over to the next tree and stop there. And he says, you just keep doing that. He says, that's how I get my deer. He says, if you be smart, you listen, you'll get something. So I said, okay. Next year, I was out hunting. It was one of the hottest days in history. The deer weren't moving. And I knew I was going to have to get out and beat the bushes. And so I did what I was told to do. And I listened. And I remembered. And I did it. And you know, that morning, man, I shot me in my first deer. It was a nice 6-point buck. He was following two does down through some thickets where all the mountain laurel was. And I was able to harvest that deer and drag him back in. Nobody else had even seen a deer. And I was so happy. I was grinning. Boy, I was remembering how Lee used to sit there grinning when he'd have a deer in his truck and everybody else was fussing because they ain't seen nothing. And I had that same grin on my face. Like, boy, I brought that deer in. And you know who else got a deer that morning? Lee. Nobody else got a deer. Nobody else seen anything. Now, is it because that I'm such a great hunter? Well, naturally. But no, is it? I tell you what it was. I had enough sense to listen. And because I listened and I took counsel, it kept me from failing. Okay? Hey, look in Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms 1, what will godly counsel do for you? I tell you what, I hope that you got enough sense and that you're smart enough to get counsel. You never get to the point to where you just know it all. You know, Brother Hiles, you know, my pastor for years, used to say, Kevin, or he'd be preaching to the congregation, he'd say, every man knows something that I don't know. Therefore, all men are my teachers, and I must probe until I find it. You can learn something from anybody. You can. Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what? You'll be blessed of God if you get godly counsel. It says, a blessed man won't walk in ungodly counsel. That means a blessed man's going to be walking in godly counsel. Okay? You'll be blessed in the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:32, blessed are they that keep my ways. So you'll have the blessings of God on your life if you listen to godly counsel. You get godly counsel, you take it and you act on it and you do what they say. Don't waste the preacher's time by saying, preacher, what do you think? And then just go ahead and do your own thing and don't listen to him. Okay? Don't waste his time. He's going to help you. He knows them. By the way, God gives his men special discernment. Amen? Pastor Ross, he knows some things that you don't know. And he's going to give him wisdom about things that you'd never thought about. I remember when I was a teenager, my youth director and his wife, they were taking me home after an activity. And they asked me a question. They said, Kevin, have you ever thought about attending Bible college? And I wanted to say immediately, no, and I ain't gonna. College is not for me. Okay? I am going to work in construction for the chairman deacon in our church. And he ran a bus route. Godly Christian man. Loved the Lord. He came and asked me to work for him. And I worked for him for several years. And I started making $1.25 an hour. You know what my job was? To do what nobody else wanted to do. Clean the toilets. Sweep the floor. But it didn't take very long. Because if you be a good worker, God will bless you. And within 3 years, I was making $14.75 an hour running equipment. That's a pretty good jump, wasn't it? Yeah. And so I'm thinking, hey, I like this running heavy equipment. Man pouring concrete. Man doing all that construction. I like that. And so my thinking was, I can't wait till I get out of school. So, boy, I can work. And had all these plans. And they asked me, my youth director asked me, Kevin, have you ever thought about going to Bible college? Well, no, and I ain't going to. Don't try to cram that down my throat. Well, simple truth was, God was dealing with me about it because, see, I thought, oh, I'm surrendering. My sister says, Kevin, what do you want to do with your life? I'll say, I'll be anything but be a preacher. Just like some of you. Oh, I'm surrendered to God, and boy, do I surrender all except. I surrender all but. I surrender all. I got veto power? No, that's not being surrendered. And that's where I was. Man, I was going to do my own thing, my own way. And I tell you what, I was going to work construction. I was going to make money. Well, they started working on me. They said, you know, it'd be a good idea for you to go off to Bible college for at least a semester. It'd be a good experience to go to get into good Bible college. Well, then my cousin started working on me. He was a member at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. He said, Kevin, he says, man, I tell you what, this place up here, this house, Anderson College, boy, brother Howes, and he was just couldn't say enough good. He was all the time saying, man, this is an exciting place to be. And man, our church is growing. And boy, you wouldn't believe what God is doing all the time. He began to work on me, began to talk to me. And I was glad that it wasn't very long after that I surrendered to the call to preach because I was tired of being miserable, you know, saying, God, I'm going to do my own thing. I surrendered to the call to preach, and guess what? I started listening to that counsel. He said, Kevin, he says, listen. He says, let me tell you something. There's a lot of Bible colleges out there, but most of them are dead. Dead as last year's wasp nest. I tell you what, dead and dry as cracker juice. Dead. He says, don't go to them places. He says, you need to go to a place that's exciting. He says, you need to go to a place where something's going on. You need to go to a place where you look at the product and you see what they're putting out and say, man, I want what they got. He says, you go to a place that's going to give you the tools and they're going to equip you and they're going to help enable you to be what you need to be. You're a product of your influences. Boy, he began to give me counsel and I began to listen to that counsel. And everybody else in my church, they was going to another Bible college. It was dead. And that's where they wanted me to go. Go with the crowd. Everybody else, all the other graduates are going to these two schools that if I named them, everybody here would know what they were. And I went there and guess what? They were dead. I went down there and checked them out. Dead. But there's a lot of pressure on me. I went to House Anderson College. I was like, whoa, man, this place is ticking. Man, this place is alive. This place has got a spirit. I tell you what, this is where God wants me to go. I knew it. And by the way, you ought to be getting counsel from your preacher. You ought to be getting counsel from mom and daddy about what you're going to do with your life. And you ought to be not one junior or senior, not one ought to be going off half-cocked doing your own thing. Boy, you better be getting some counsel. It'll keep you. It'll bring the blessings of God. It's going to make you wise, according to Proverbs 8 and verse number 33. Don't have time to turn there because I got about a minute left. But it'll make you wise. It could keep you from making stupid decisions and spending money that you don't need to. It'll keep you from falling. Proverbs 11, 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Boy, get some counsel. I know people, they'll pack up and leave and they'll move to another distant state. Why? Because of job promotion. They're going to make a six-digit figure income now. And is there a good church out there? I don't know, but we're going to make more money. I'm thinking, you're crazy. You'd be better off staying in a good church making less than making more money and then not having a good church to go to. See? It'll keep you from falling and making mistakes. And boy, I could tell you so many things about getting counsel. I've got counsel from Brother Williams and Brother Scott about our ministry and on and on and on that have helped us and saved us from mistakes. And I've talked to Russell Anderson and I've talked to people about, you know, buying houses and selling houses and buying vehicles because I need to listen and follow godly counsel. Hebrews 13:17 tells us that authority that rule over us will help us and give us counsel and directions for our life, because they want what's best for you. I hope this morning that you're teachable. I hope that you're willing to get some good godly counsel. I hope that you'll listen to it. It'll save your life. It could make you from help you from making mistakes and help you get the knots worked out. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time. Lord, I just pray that you'd help from the youngest person here to the oldest person, Lord, that we all would be teachable. We all would see the need of getting good godly counsel and advice. And Lord, the help that it would give us. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless in the services this morning. We pray for souls to be saved, decisions to be made for you. Amen.